Last week we saw a few ancient burial stones in Turkey, and the burial stones had wreaths on them. In fact, one tombstone, I don't know if you remember this, Dad, had four wreaths on it. What was that about? Well, Paul talks about it today in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2.
Yeah, you're listening to Between the Lines. I'm Scott.
I'm Junior.
And I'll go ahead and get started in verse 1.
All right.
You yourselves, dear brothers and sisters, I love that, just the endearing way that he speaks to them. Though I have to say, you know, when we were flying Turkish Air,
yeah,
didn't it bug you a little bit when the voice on there, you know, obviously it was somebody who, they had an English speaker on there, and they would say, dear customers.
Well, that was all the time. Remember, like, our guide in Greece was always like, my dear friends.
Yeah, that was in Greece, yeah. My dear friends. Like, you've never met me before.
Yeah, right. Call me dear.
But Paul meant it, because Paul knew them, and he loved them. He really did love them.
Yeah.
You yourselves know, dear brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not a failure. You know how badly we had been treated at Philippi just before we came to you, and how much we suffered there, which, great story, by the way, when you read that in the book of Acts. Yet our God gave us the courage to declare his good news to you boldly in spite of great opposition. So you can see that we're not preaching with any deceit or impure motives or trickery. I mean, this is a genuine message that he's giving them. For we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news or the gospel. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our hearts. Never once did we try to win you with flattery, as you well know, though he was pretty good about his genuine praise and appreciation for them. That, you know, what's the difference between expressing some appreciation for a person or encouraging them with words and flattery?
Yeah. Well, in Proverbs chapter 27, which is not the proverb for today, it says flattery ruins.
Yeah.
Be careful of people who flatter.
Right. And so he wasn't doing, this was no flattery here, but this was genuine appreciation for who they were.
Yeah.
Let me see here. I lost my place. Verse 4. For we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please. I already read that all that tonight. Verse 6 we're at now.
Hey, we're rusty. It's okay.
Yeah.
We're a little rusty.
Well, I was jumping ahead. I was looking ahead to see how many verses there are in this chapter. As for human praise, we have never sought it from you or anyone else. That's not what he was doing ministry for. As apostles of Christ, we certainly had a right to make some demands of you, but instead we were like children among you, or we were like a mother feeding and caring for her own children. And it's interesting, Paul uses that analogy in a couple of the other epistles, I think to the Corinthians, and I forget who else, but he uses that same analogy as well, that this is the kind of love that, you know, you think about a mother caring for their children. He said, this is how it was with you. We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our lives too.
Well, I do like that analogy, because we all find ourselves in leadership positions. Some of us may be higher up than others, but regardless, it doesn't matter.
We
still find ourselves leading, maybe
to
than family or places of influence. As an influencer, as a leader, are you that type of boss, or where people would look at you and be like, they care for me like a parent would.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a parent can be very direct.
Yeah.
And Dad, I know that more than anybody else in the world.
I don't know. I've seen you with your kids. you've been pretty good at passing it on.
Well, I always figure, you know, it's like, I want to be tough on them so that grandparents can spoil them.
Yeah.
You know, it's, but anyways, you know, are you that leader where, you know, a parent can be tough, but also a parent's like, at the end of the day, I know that they love me and they're doing this for my own good.
Yeah.
Is that the kind of leader that you are?
Hmm. Verse 9, you remember, dear brothers and sisters, how hard we worked among you. Night and day we toiled to earn a living so that we would not be a burden to any of you as we preach God's good news to you. You know, when we were in Ephesus last week, it really struck me, because the guide, the Turkish guide, actually said, okay, this is the area where all of the skilled laborers would make their goods. So Paul would have been right here. And Aquila and Priscilla actually had made it too, which he had met them in Philippi, but they came to Ephesus with him, and that's where they would have been doing the tent making. So when Paul was talking about working hard, you know, it's right there in the middle of the city. And it would have been the same way here in Thessaloniki. He said, you remember me, as all the people in the community would have seen me working at making these tents. Which, by the way, too, something else I learned that I didn't know before this trip was that the tents were made of leather. that this was leatherworking.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So this wasn't cloth.
I was talking to my
canvas.
Daughter about this the other morning, just about, you know, Paul tent making. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, I was like, it wouldn't have been the same tents that we'd have today. They didn't have that material, so that's interesting.
No, they're made of leather, so it was quite skilled work that he would have done. Anyway, he said, you know how hard that we have worked among you. We toiled to earn a living so that we would not be a burden to any of you as we preach God's good news to you in verse 9. You yourselves are our witnesses, and so is God, that we were devout and honest and faultless toward all of you believers. That's a big deal. I think that having a kind of transparency and to be able to say, hey, you're witnesses. You've been able to watch my life.
Yeah.
And that you know that I actually live this. It's not just something I'm talking about. It's something that I'm doing.
And I love that he says faultless. He doesn't mean that he's without sin.
Right.
Because he knows that more than anything. He said that he's the worst of all sinners. But it's that whole idea of like, let's not be so nitpicky. At the end of the day, you had nothing on me and I had nothing on you.
Yeah, there was no accusations that could be held against him.
Right. There was probably accusations, but nothing that could be held. Verse
11
says, and you know that we treated each of you as father treats his own children.
So he not only uses the mother analogy, then he uses the father analogy.
That's right. We pleaded with you, encouraged you, and urged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy, for he called you to share in his kingdom and glory. So we see that word called again, that whole idea of ecclesia.
Yep.
Therefore, we never stop thanking God that you received his message from us, and we didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. You accepted what we said as the very word of God, which of course it is. And this word continues to work in you who believe. And then to your brothers and sisters, you suffered persecution from your own countrymen. In this way, you imitated the believers in God's churches in Judea, who, because of their belief in Christ Jesus, suffered from their own people, the Jews. For some of the Jews killed the prophets, and some even killed the Lord Jesus. Now they persecuted us too. And Paul was one of those persecutors.
Yeah, so much of the persecution that came to Paul and some of these, and this is still pretty early on. So you're talking about just about 20, maybe 30 years after Jesus' death and resurrection, when Paul was doing this ministry. And so much of the persecution then arose from the Judaizers, who weren't necessarily against Jesus being the Messiah, but they didn't like the fact that Gentiles were then added into their community as not not following through the Jewish traditions.
Yeah.
Circumcision and the feasts and all of those other things. So that was the big problem they had then. And then they would create problems among the governing officials. And so then the governing officials then came down hard on them because it was the Judaites who actually would stir them up.
Yeah.
Later on, the persecution would actually be against Christians because there was a renewed persecution against the Jews after a couple of the rebellions that the Jews had against the Roman state.
Yeah.
And because Christians were viewed as Jews, strange Jews, the Christians were persecuted along with the Jews.
Yeah.
And they were larger in number by that time, so they wound up getting more persecuted.
Sure. They fail to please God and work against all humanity, those who persecute believers. As they try to keep us from preaching the good news of salvation to the Gentiles, by doing this, they continue to pile up their sins, but the anger of God has caught up with them at last. Dear brothers and sisters, after we separated you for a little while, though our hearts never left you, we tried very hard to come back because of our intense longing to see you again. We wanted very much to come to you, and I, Paul, tried again and again, but Satan prevented us. After all, what gives us hope and joy and what will be our proud reward and crown as we stand before our Lord Jesus when he returns? It's you. Yes, you are our pride and joy.
I don't remember if we talked about this going through this the first time or not.
But it's worth repeating.
Yeah, I love that so much that the reward in heaven is going to be the people that we influence.
That's right.
All right, let's get over to Proverbs. And so I encourage you to read all of Proverbs 2 for today. And verse 7 is the verse I wanted to pick out. So read the whole chapter. But we read here that if you go to the Lord for wisdom, he's the one that gives wisdom is what he says in verse 6. But in verse 7, he says, he grants a treasure of good sense to the godly. The godly people ought to have good sense.
Yeah.
Ought to just make good decisions.
That's right.
And I see so many people that are so super spiritual and that they do foolish things, make terrible decisions.
Yeah.
And oftentimes they blame it on God.
Yeah.
You know, saying, well, this is what God told me to do. And I'm saying, God didn't tell you to be so foolish. Yeah. God grants a treasure of good sense to the godly. He is their shield, protecting those who walk with integrity. And he guards the paths of justice and protects those who are faithful to him.
Hmm. So good.
Again, just great wisdom
we have here
in Proverbs.
That's right. All right. Well, today is National Reconciliation Day, which is a That's a good day to observe.
Yeah, it is.
Where can there be reconciliation in your life? You think about it. You should be a reconciler. If you call yourself a Jesus follower, this is what Jesus did. This is why he came to earth, to reconcile us to God. And maybe you're thinking right now, well, I don't really have anything against anybody. There's no, you know, wedges between me and anybody else. Okay, good. Good. But are there people you can bring together?
You know, and a good way to do that is by simply speaking positively to about others to those who may speak negatively about them. So if you got some drama at work and there's two people that don't like each other or seem to always be negative about each other, it's so easy to get involved in that drama by also talking negative. Instead, no, you go to George and you talk highly of Bill, even though George doesn't like Bill, and do the same to Bill about George. And it's amazing how much you can bring people together by actually purposely wanting to be a peacemaker.
That's right.
And particularly in your own life, though. If there's division in your own life, with family members or whoever it might be, be a peacemaker. You take the initiative. Where is there division that you need to bring unity?
Absolutely. All right. Hey, make it a good day today.
God bless.